This is Morgan Michael, welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness, together by challenging our assumptions and venturing beyond the status quo in education. We can make a big impact, one small act at a time. Hi, it's Morgan again, and you're going to hear me speak host on mic for at least one more week. I was thinking about pushing forward one of my really wonderful podcast episodes that I've just had with Adam Welcome, and then I just thought, you know what, I'm going to hold on to it until next week. So hopefully you can be patient and hang on to that amazing interview, because I think right now, I think what I need to share right now is, as we sit on the cusp of this new normal, many British Columbia teachers going back into the classroom either this week or next week, June 1st, I think there are a lot of swirling emotions. And I wanted to read a letter that I wrote to my children, actually. And I've been sharing bits and pieces of it on Instagram on my Small Act Big Impact account. But I thought that I'd read it in its entirety today, in the hopes that maybe some of it resonates with you. I think sometimes I read it because for me, it's like the advice that I need for myself in those times where things feel really uncertain and where I hold a certain amount of paradox in my heart. The discomfort versus the excitement of what's coming, I think all of it is very human. And so I want to read this to you. And then I'd like to talk about a few of the ways that I'd like to build proximity and culture within my own classroom, in spite of the distance, and go from there. And hopefully it's of some use to you. So here's how it starts. Dearest you, you are perfect just as you are. You are lovable. Wherever you are, you belong. Pick yourself. You matter. Don't wait for permission to change the world. Find your voice. Don't wait. Start now. It is possible to be brave and afraid at the same time. Don't let fear stop you from doing the things that make you happy. Find sparks of joy in the ordinary moments. Wear your passion on your sleeve. Laugh so hard that your belly hurts. Pay attention to the beauty of nature. The only certain thing in life is that one day you will be faced with uncertainty. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to it. You can write your own story. Sometimes hurt people hurt people. When someone tries to dim your light, remember that it takes courage to keep shining bright. It's okay to cry. Everyone feels sadness from time to time. If you don't let the sad out, sad becomes mad. Find a way to let it go. Showing up for people is simple, but it's not easy. Sit with someone who is hurt without needing to fix the hurt. It is possible to be a kind person and still say no. There will be times when you will have to protect your heart. You might not always be for everyone, and that's okay. Choose people who choose you. Surround yourself with people who see your gifts. Seek out the people who already believe in you. Learn to give compliments from the heart and learn to accept them with grace. Speak with kindness in your heart. You just never know what people are struggling to overcome. Don't make yourself small in order to fit the places that you've outgrown. It's okay to dream big. Spread those wings and fly. Your work will always be bad before it's good. Make lots of it. Share it. Keep making it. And you'll get better. Remember that done is always better than perfect. Try your best. I'm going to say that again. Done is better than perfect. If you get knocked down, keep getting up. Rest if you're tired, but never fully give up. Listen to others with an open heart, but don't be afraid to speak up for what you believe in. Don't forget to use that voice of yours. Every so often, ask yourself, am I proud of the way that I make people feel? Clap for people, even when you envy their success. This is such a hard one. Their victories don't equal your failure. Their victories don't equal your failure. Run your own race at your own pace. Take care of your body. Feed it healthy foods. Move it every day. Take care of your mind. Feed it healthy thoughts and give it the gift of stillness every day. Walk through the world trusting the compass in your hand and following the whispers of curiosity on your heart. You might not know your destination right now, but have faith. It'll all make sense in the end. Lots of love from me. I think sometimes I need to read those instructions because I need that as an anchor to remember that things will maybe not be the way that I expect them to be, and that situations like this new normal, as they say, might make me feel uncomfortable. But I think the idea of having faith in what the universe has in store for you is really powerful. And so as an educator, as I face going back into the classroom with who knows how many people I'll be servicing, who knows who I'll be servicing, whether I'll see my own students or not, I know that that's the ideal, but it's not necessarily guaranteed. I think about all of that complex uncertainty that lies before me, and I remember the importance of staying rooted in the moment. It's really not easy to do so, but I think just being able to take one step at a time and to try as much as you can to be in the moment, knowing that you also do have to be planning ahead, because that's what educators do. We plan ahead so that we can be present in the moment in the classroom. But I think on some level, within the tight routines that we will undoubtedly build, we can build play and inquiry and joy into the day. I think we just need to be intentional about it. And I think that we need to trust that our students will be more flexible and resilient than we think they will be. And as it turns out, I think we will too. So I think I'm going to really be careful about the routines that I create, how we line up, the visual aids that I lean on in order to make things abundantly clear about what to do and when. Because I think when students have a really clear sense of what's coming and what's expected of them, and when educators have the same concept of what's expected of them and what's coming, I think we can just all drop our shoulders a little bit and be more present, be more engaged in the moment, and enjoy one another. Because I think on some level, we're just people. We just want to enjoy each other's company. And that's what's really important. And I think that's where the playful curiosity will come in. So I am paying close attention to things like lineup routines and what will students be doing when other ones are washing their hands. And that's when I'm choosing to teach some new mindfulness breathing skills. When they are waiting in line, they'll be learning how to star breathe or rainbow breathe or bubble breathe. Or we might play 20 questions, or we might play games like Would You Rather? And that will become part of the routine because we will be spending a lot of time standing and waiting in line. So we've got to find meaningful ways to build in joy and learning into those times. And I think we are so creative and we have that capacity to think outside of the box. We just need to do so and give ourselves permission to think about education just a little bit differently. And so I'm excited about that part, but I think it's also kind of scary. I think this opening up of the economy and of stores has been polarizing. I see this online. I've seen this trend just in the past, probably the past week or two, especially in British Columbia, but you see it in places like Australia, in the United States. You kind of see it everywhere. People are fed up of being stuck inside. And yet, in the space of 2 weeks, 1 million people across the globe have contracted and been tested, have tested positive for COVID-19. So it's not exactly like the risk has completely dissipated. It is really safe where we are. We're on Vancouver Island, and I think we've been COVID-free for 14 days. In other words, we haven't had any new cases. So that's really comforting. However, I think about other jurisdictions where that's not the case and yet things still are opening. And that same sense of security isn't necessarily present. So there are people who are really scared. And then there are people who are just fed up and ready to open things back up and take their chances. And I think we all sort of deal with risk in a different way. And we have to be tolerant of each other. And that's a really tough thing. I think I found myself leaning into my more judgmental side at times, wondering with outrage why people aren't doing things a certain way, and then checking myself a little bit and going, oh, and noticing what's happening. And so I think the paradox that we're experiencing, this polarization, is natural. And I think it's okay for someone to feel scared and hopeful at the same time, to feel a little bit skeptical and optimistic. I think we can hold these two contrary thoughts simultaneously. It's something wonderful that I just experienced was being in front of a student of mine, 6 feet away, and being able to work through an activity together, face-to-face, in person, and seeing his face light up when he saw that I was there. And it was wonderful. It was weird. It was weird to be far away and not be able to, you know, cozy up beside him and be there beside him in presence. But somehow we still really connected, and that experience stayed with me and resonated with me for hours afterward. And I think as humans, we have this capacity to connect despite the weird. And so I urge you to hold some of that in your heart, even if you're scared, because I have my own fears about this. You know, I do wonder about the playgrounds being open. I wonder about the convenience of paper suddenly being okay for schools when, you know, the science doesn't necessarily confirm that COVID can't be contracted or can't be passed on through paper. So I think there are some conveniences here in policy that are definitely there. So that's the skeptic in me, the critical thinker going, how much of this is convenient policy that is kind of part of restarting the economy? That is part of it. But I think within that, I hold the belief that we can absolutely do this. I think it's possible to be safe, and that we have to sort of rely and trust in our ability to make this work, because it's coming, whether we want it or not. But I think it's really, really important to acknowledge and feel and name the uncomfortable, contrary feelings that we have toward it, and to make space for those who are working through their emotions, their experiences within the context of their experience. And so there are administrators who are between rocks and a hard place, where they're having to deliver really hard news to staff and kind of deal with the fallout. And it's not always their decisions. We have in-school counselors who are having to provide support and hold space for all of the staff, for students who are in crisis. And doing so through Zoom can be really, really challenging. So it's powerful to be able to be face-to-face with their students. We have primary teachers who are questioning how on earth they're going to be able to physically distance. We have middle school and high school teachers who are maybe happy with the online program, and perhaps it's working for them. I just think we all come from such different experiences that we have to hold space for one another and be accepting of where we're coming from in all of this. And at the same time, not give up on that critical thinking capacity. I think sometimes we have to use that courageous voice to stand up for what we believe in. And yes, it's important to mindfully accept what's happening. But if something doesn't feel right, we need to use our voice to express ourselves. And so it's important to be strong and flexible. So I suppose what I want to leave you with today is just the sense that it's possible to be optimistic in spite of the unknown. And the only way that we can really do that is by leaning on our knowledge of our own internal strength And I think by being generous and benevolent toward other people. I think the more that we share our learnings, the more that we share our approaches, even in the classroom, or our perspectives, the more broad our overall conception of how we're going to move through this can be. And that's a gift to everybody. So if you have something that works, I urge you to share it with someone within your school or even in another district so that it can ripple out to others. I think that we are truly all in this together, as much as this has become a catchphrase. And we need to just share what it is that we're creating and our perspectives. Thank you so much for listening today. And I do want to promise you that next weekend, I will have an interview for you on leadership. It's energizing and it's wonderful. So I look forward to that. Take care and have a restful weekend. I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes and leave a review. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.